great pleasure I introduce Pam Farrell, who is our speaker for today. Pam and her husband, Bill, have ministered to couples for over 25 years. They have written several books on marriage, as well as the best-selling book, Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti, which she will be speaking on today. Pam is a mother of three active children. To relax, she enjoys cheering on her boys at sporting events, reading, and exercising, especially if those activities are kayaking or long walks on beaches. So, great area to do all of those things here. Please welcome Pam.
Well, what I have seen is that no matter where we go in the world, Men Are Like Waffles and Like Spaghetti now has been translated to like 15, 16 languages. And our goal in life's second half is to get to all those countries. Like, how many of you have a bucket list? Time to start making your bucket list, because eventually your kids will leave. Yes, it does happen. And then you can start on that bucket list. And so one of the things that happened is about 7 years ago, we got a phone call from the government of Singapore. And they said, Pam Bill, want you to come to Singapore to speak on single men like waffles, single women like spaghetti. We want you to help our college, university students to fall in love, get married young, have many baby, make strong Singapore. We're like, that is a great cause. Yes, we are there. That's awesome. The government sponsors these relationship conferences for singles and married people every year. So we've gone back about 7 years. But what I've seen is it doesn't matter what country we're in, what city we're in, even in our own backyard. My kids grew up and went to school at San Marcos High right around the corner, and another one at Christian High. That's down where we live now in El Cajon. You know, it doesn't matter where we go, people really do care about relationships. And God knows that, and He cares about your relationships as well. One of my friends, he was talking to his little boy. And his little boy, like, was bringing this jar, and he couldn't get the lid open. And so he's like, Dad, can you help me with this? And so Dad grabbed the lid and just popped it right off. And the little boy's like, what? How come you could get it off, but I couldn't get it off? And the dad said, well, it's because it's a child-proof, you know, lid. And the little boy pondered for a minute, and he said, how did it know it's me? God knows it's you. God knows everything about what you're going through. And it's my prayer that something that I say today would be like a personal post-it note of God's goodness, straight from His heart to your heart. Because we, men and women, we are definitely different. And it goes all the way back to Genesis, when God said He made them male and female, He created them. And if you look all the way down to even the basic part of who we are, you know, there's XX and XY, chromosomes, DNA, we are different. We are different. But what do we do with those differences? And so Bill and I, when our kids were about your age, my husband was a pastor of a small church over in San Marcos that we had just moved down here. And we really believe like being out in the community. And so this man caught him at the basketball gym where Bill was coaching. He's like, you and Pam, you seem to have like a good marriage. And I'm having some issues right now with my wife. I think something's wrong with her. I think she might be broken. And Bill's like, can we come in and see you? Bill's like, sure. And so they show up, and the man turned to his wife and's like, go ahead. And she just started talking, hopping from thing to 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 thing, topic to topic to topic. And the man looked at Bill like panicked. She does this all the time. And Bill's like, that's okay. Picture her mind like a plate of spaghetti. And she is just going from one piece of spaghetti to another to tie all of her life to you. It's actually a compliment. And the guy's like, what do I do? And Bill taught him some listening skills. And so probably for the first time, he didn't interrupt. He actually just let his wife talk. And after 55 straight minutes, she leaned back and she's like, that was great. Okay, so if I'm kind of like spaghetti, what's my husband like? And Bill said, oh, yeah, that, yeah, that'll take next time. Because in his mind, he's like, I don't know. And so he's like praying up, and Bill is talking to God. Okay, God, I like use this food illustration to talk about women and how they connect everything. I know that men compartmentalize, you know, done all the research, but I need a food illustration because guys always relate to food. And one day our boys were making Eggo waffles and pop the waffle. And Bill's like, yeah, men are like waffles. So what does it mean that men are like waffles and like spaghetti? Well, I'm going to move these just a little bit back. Men are like waffles. That means they compartmentalize. They think of one thing and one thing only at a time. So when a man is at work, he's at work. And when he's mowing the lawn, he's mowing the lawn. And when he's working in the garage, he's working in the garage. And when he's watching TV, he is watching TV. One thing and one thing only at a time. So by nature, men are problem solvers. They like to go into a box, figure out what the problem is, assign a solution, and then move on. And if they get to a box where they see what the problem is, but they don't know the solution, they just move on. Like, why stay in a box when you don't know the answer? And so, because men are problem solvers by nature, they like to stay in that one box at a time, which is very different from the way our minds are wired by God. Social scientists say men compartmentalize and women integrate. So if you look at the way our minds are wired, it is much like one noodle laying on a plate of spaghetti. And if you follow that noodle around that plate, it looks like it touches pretty much every other noodle on the plate. And that's the same way we women process life, is we travel through life making emotional connections to the people and things that matter most to us. And so by nature, we're really great at multitasking. And we can be on the phone with our friend and her life's all falling apart. And we're watching Oprah, and there's Dr. Phil, and he's saying, how's that working for you? So we're like, how's that working for you, honey? Yeah, you should come to Solana Beach Mops. Those girls are like amazing. Their breakfast is incredible. Yeah, they're so encouraging. Come on down, girl. At the same time, we're on our Christmas card list and our grocery list and our list for what to buy and put in those boxes that go in shoe boxes around the world. And we're writing our to-do list for our kids as we're telling the kids in sign language to quit fighting. Can't you see I'm on the phone? We got a load in the washer, a load in the dryer. We're cooking dinner and we can open and shut the oven with our foot, right? It's amazing, that whole multitasking thing. It's a gift. It's a gift to the family, to the church, to the community. But sometimes that multitasking thing can be a little bit frustrating to the men in our world, our husband, if we're single, the guy we might be dating, our son, our brother, our dad, our male coworkers, because they don't process life like we process life. And so one of the things that we can do is just know the differences and how to make those differences work for us in all of our relationships. And so men are like waffles. Let me just give you a couple of hints. Men are like waffles because they are problem solvers. One of the things you need to know about guys is that some of the boxes on every man's waffle, there are no real words there. There's kind of like noises. How many of you are raising boys? Awesome. Okay, you know what I mean. Raised three sons. We're driving around. And one of the boys says, I'm like, what, Zach? He's like, I just wanted to share it. And that's the same reason, like, you'll see two men passing, and they'll go, hey. That's like a bonding moment for men. They're okay with that. But that's very different than the way we women, you know, greet each other, more like, hi, hug. Yeah, much more connected. And then one of the things you should probably know about every male is that some of the boxes on their waffle are absolutely, positively blank. There are no thoughts. There are no words. There's like nothing going on there. I mean, you've probably seen it. And men park in those boxes, and it's like when they park in that box, that blank box, we women get like radar, and we ask the dreaded question, so, what you thinking? And their eyes get this kind of like deer in the headlights kind of look. And they start darting back and forth because they're looking for a box nearby that might have a word in it that they can drop in and answer our questions. And then we misinterpret the delay. We're like, you didn't tell me what you're really thinking. Now you're just making something up. Well, now we know what they're really thinking is nothing. That's right. Men are like waffles, men are like spaghetti. There are differences. In our book, we have a singles version, a version for teenagers, and a married couples version. And we talk about 10 differences. And the first we're going to hit today is that men and women, we relate differently. The way we communicate is very different. And so the number one question that I get from women is, how do I get my guy to open up? Whether it's, how do I get my husband to open up? How do I get my son to open up? How do I get, you know, the guy I'm dating to open up? How do I get them to talk? And so, like, how many of you have said to your boys, how you doing? And you got this response. What'd you learn in school today? Yeah, get that? Yeah. You used to have to bribe with chocolate chip cookies. So how you doing? All right. Okay, so tell me one good thing and I'll give you a cookie. Yeah. Please talk to me. Yeah, so that's the number one question that we get is, how do I get that guy to open up? Well, one of the things that's going on is we women have more words per day than the average male. And so we can basically just out-talk them. And because of that, a lot of times we sell our guys short just because they don't respond to life like we respond to life. We think something's wrong with them, like they're broken. And the best illustration that I saw of this was actually a cartoon. And this woman, she was a young, let's say, college-age girl, and she came up to her uncle, and she's like, oh, uncle, everything you did just totally changed my life. And he took out a business card, and he handed it to her. He said, you can take this down to the petroleum store. They'll give you 10% off of your gasoline. And the wife saw the whole interaction. She's like, okay, our niece was pouring out her heart, and you gave her a business card? Have you no feelings? And he said, I had feelings. I was afraid she was going to hug me. I was scared it was going to go on. And I was happy when it was over. I have feelings. Guys really do have feelings. Okay, so raising three boys, our oldest, when this story happens, is a senior at San Marcos High. Quarterback lost his homecoming game. He had some feelings about that, right? But not as many feelings as the next night when the girl he had been dating, he took to the homecoming dance and she left with another guy with Brock's car keys in her purse. Yeah, he had a lot of feelings about that one. So guys really do have feelings. They're just buried in the very bottom of every one of those waffle box compartments. It's kind of like how syrup would go to the very bottom of every compartment on a Belgian waffle. The sweetest part of who a male is in the very bottom of every one of those waffle box compartments. So how do we get there? How do we get them to share that with us? One of the keys is that anytime you do an activity shoulder to shoulder, you're going to have more success in getting a male to open up. For some reason, you know, you lock them in the car and you're driving, they'll open up. You're fishing with them, they're looking forward. So anytime shoulder to shoulder, you're probably going to have a little bit more success. So that's something to keep in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is when a man brings up something to talk about, he actually thinks that that subject that you're going to talk about. But we women, because our minds are like spaghetti, we see the five or six other boxes that are surrounding that first box, and we just start opening up boxes or opening up topics. And the problem with that is when a man has one box open, that's one problem to solve. When he has two boxes open, that's two problems to solve. When he has three boxes open, three problems to solve, and so on. And every male has a limit on how many boxes or how many issues he can have presenting at the same time. If we get too many boxes going, girls, we're going to know it. Because he's either going to fire up and become angry, and we're like, what? I was just talking. Or he's just going to shut that box down and try to escape to one of his favorite boxes, like the garage, and you're just chasing with all your words. And so nobody's needs are getting met there. So the gift that we can give is the gift of staying in the box. And a guy, one woman said to me, she was engaged. She's like, I'm so excited to get married to my fiance. I mean, he is such a good looking guy, and he is such a great provider, and he is such a good moral man, but I'm kind of afraid. And I'm like, why are you afraid, girlfriend? And she said, because I think something's wrong with him. I think he might be broken. And I said, really? She's like, yeah, I think at university they called it emotionally shallow. And I just started to smile. And the reason why I started to smile is she just hadn't found the key that unlocked her guy's heart. And that is, men like to live in, dwell in, camp out in boxes they feel super successful in, and totally avoid boxes they don't feel successful in. So I said, tell me about your fiance, because I'm looking for the box he feels comfortable or successful in. She's like, he's a race car driver. I said, there you go. Baby girl, you just get yourself into the garage. And when you're in the garage, just repeat back key phrases to keep him talking. She's like, all right. So she goes into the garage, and she's tweaking this, and she's torquing that, and she's talking about rods and pistons and flywheels, dutifully repeating back these car parts. Doesn't have a clue what they mean, but she's repeating back those car parts. All of a sudden, he comes out from underneath the car. He puts his hand on the hood of the car. Wow, nobody has ever taken the time to love me like this, honey. Nobody has ever, like, cared about my world like this. I'm so excited to get married to you. I want to build you a big 3-bedroom, 2-bath house with a balcony out back and a front porch, and I'll hang up the swing for just every night when I come home. I'll bring you a skinny vanilla latte, and I'll slide in next to you on that front porch swing, and we'll watch the sun set over the ocean as I listen to your heart, baby. She told me later, I never want to leave the garage again. Yeah, she found the key to unlock his heart. And that's find the box he feels comfortable, successful in, park yourself in it, and become a great listener. That's the gift that we can give to the males in our world. And in that area of communication, there are 4 simple steps that can help us to become great listeners. And we know that listening is important because the book of James says that we are to be quick to hear and slow to become angry. And so listening is important. And so the first thing we want to do is repeat key phrases, just like I talked about with that woman. But you can try it today. You can just walk up to somebody at the book table or the coffee table and say, so how you doing? And we probably will reply, what? Fine, because that's what we're all trained to do. But instead of saying, yeah, me too, and just walking away, stop, push pause, and repeat. Oh, you're feeling fine? Well, actually, I'm kind of tired. Oh, you're kind of tired? Yeah, you know, I have this new baby, and, you know, we're still not, I'm on a routine, and so I'm getting up like 3 or 4 times a night still, and, you know, my husband, and he is, like, working all this overtime, so I'm taking care of the kids, like, all day and, like, all night. It just feels like I'm always awake and never get to sleep, and, you know, and one of my kids is going to become teenagers, and I'm, like, so worried about, you know, teenagers in the house. What is that going to be? I remember when I was, like, when I was a teenager, and I don't want them to make some of the choices that I made. I want them to make better choices, and, oh, wow, you know, I know there's 2 ways to live, fear, faith, you know, so I'm trying to live by faith and praying and stuff, so I'm up really late at night praying. Like, all you've done is repeat 2 words. She just rolled out her whole life story. It's very effective to just repeat key phrases. But you might feel a little bit like a robot if all you ever do is repeat key phrases. So the second thing that you're going to want to do is to rephrase. And just put the conversation in your own words. What I hear you saying is. And then you're going to want to reconnect. And that is, put the conversation back in their court. Say something like, am I following what you're trying to tell me? Am I tracking with you? Give them a chance to clarify. And the more sensitive or the more volatile a conversation is, the more important it is that you do those last 2 things, rephrase and then reconnect to that person, giving them a chance to clarify. And then you're going to want to, the last thing you're going to want to do is re-energize that relationship by trying to connect emotion to emotion or heart to heart to gain that deep connection that we all long for in a relationship. And what you're going to do is, a person's going to be sharing a story, whether it's a son, whether it's someone you're dating, whether it's your husband, your dad. Okay, they're going to be sharing a story. And this works for both genders, too, so you can use it with your girls. So they're going to be sharing a story. And somewhere in that story, there's an emotion. And simply ask yourself, have I ever felt like that? Now, the circumstances might be very different, but ask yourself if you've ever felt that same way. Let me give you a quick example. So when Bill and I were about your stage of life, things were really hectic, and he came home one day and he said, Pam, you're too busy. Now, my response can be one of two things. I can either react or I can use those listening skills, repeat key phrases. I chose to repeat key phrases. So you think that I'm too busy? Well, I think our life is just too busy. You know, I go to work and I just feel like I just can't keep up and that I'm not going to succeed. Wow, you feel like you're not going to succeed? Yeah, you know, I know it's not anything like that's really happening, but, you know, I grew up in that crazy house, and my mom, she was always so negative, like, you'll never be anything, you'll never amount to anything. I just hear those negative messages all the time in my brain, and I'm like, oh, that's so sad, and it's so hard for you, I'm sure. He's like, yeah, I know it's not reality, but it's just, like, so frustrating. So, yes, I feel like I'm going to fail at this. You feel like you're going to fail? Yeah. Wow, hon, I'm so sorry. Is it kind of like, you know that time, let me see if I'm tracking with you. You go to work, and there's not anything that really is causing failure. You're just feeling like you're going to fail. Am I tracking with you? Yes. Okay, is it kind of like, remember that time I brought home a report card? It was in seventh grade. And I showed it to my dad, and my dad had been drinking like all night and all day. And so Jack Daniels said, you know, he looked at my report card, 100%, 100%, 100%, 99.9. And dad said, why isn't that 100? Does it feel a little bit like that? Yep. So sorry, honey. Big hug. Gained a great connection that day. Found out that we had a lot more in common than we ever even thought. And we knew a lot of this stuff before, but we got into a deeper level because I just chose to repeat key phrases. But can you imagine how that conversation could have gone? Imagine if he walked in, he said, you're too busy. And I reacted. You think that I'm too busy? You think that I'm too busy? Maybe it's because I do everything around this house and I'm doing all the work. Maybe if you would help out a little bit. You know, I'm driving your three kids around. I'm working at your church. I'm writing these books. I'm doing the laundry. Maybe if you would, like, take out the trash, I wouldn't be so busy. Yeah, right? We could have had intense fellowship for, like, 2 weeks over that one. The choice is always yours. Conflict or connection? When you choose to use those simple listening skills, you gain the connection that you're looking for. And so in the back of Men Are Like Waffles and Like Spaghetti, there are date night questions, dinner and dialogue questions. And they're put there so you can make those connections. Because in this busy world, it's so easy to just drift apart. We were out on our 10-year anniversary on the San Diego Bay on one of those, you know, hornblower cruises. And it was so romantic. There was, like, lights on the bay and little lights on the table and great food and lovely music, a little bit of dancing. It was so romantic for us, not so romantic for the couple sitting next to us. They started talking about problems with the cars, problems with the kids, problems with the IRS. Yeah, pretty much if you talk about the IRS, a mood killer, right? And so they started yelling, arguing, like the whole boat, like we're embarrassed, we don't know what to do for these people kind of moment. And the woman realized what was going on, and so she started crying. She's like, we can't argue, this is our anniversary. So then they just quit talking, held captive on a boat for 2 hours in silence. And my heart just broke for them, because really it was just the busyness of life that was pulling them apart. And so One of the things that can really build and bless your marriage is to have that date night once a week. And it doesn't have to be like, you don't have to go out. You can have a date night here. There's 25 free or nearly free ideas in the Waffles and Spaghetti book. On our LoveWise website, there is an article called Recession Romance. So it's stuff that's free or nearly free. And in our Red Hot Monogamy book, there's 200 Red Hot ideas to help you. And in addition, I will be doing the Red Hot Tips challenge, Red Hot Wife Challenge, November 18 through Christmas time. And it's 26 days to travel through the 26 traits that make us a more loving, more desirable wife, A to Z. And if you sign up, we'll go through the book together. You get an encouraging email from me every day for 26 days, weekends off. And it's just a way to rekindle, put that spark, that sizzle in your relationship. And but the second thing that you can do besides the date night, and just a little sidebar on the date night. Here's a tip. When our kids were little, we told them, you know, we had like trade mommy. So we would have a childcare co-op. It's because once you have like one kid at your house, you might as well have like 10 kids at your house. And so sometimes we would just trade kids, and that's one way we got our date nights. The other was we told our kids that you have the privilege of going to bed early on Thursday nights. And the privilege is, see this toy box? You can only play with these toys on Thursday night, and you can only play with them if you stay on your bed. You can stay up as long as you want, but if you get off that bed, toys are gone, lights off, bye. It's amazing how cooperative our toddlers were, even at giving us some space and time, because their little bodies would just shut down and they would go to sleep at the same time, but they thought they were going to stay up later, okay? So it worked to help us get those at-home date nights. And then the third thing is listening. And we're going to practice that listening skill that we just talked about. And so I'm going to give you a question. If you could take a romantic rendezvous with your husband, or if you could just go on vacation, girls, where would you want to go and why? And so we're going to get into groups of twos, just in partners. One person will be the listener, one person will be the talker, and the listener, all you get to do is repeat key phrases to keep her talking. We're just going to practice that part of the skill. And it won't be a problem. We're all girls. And then in a moment, we'll switch and I'll let the other person practice, okay? So where would you want to go on a romantic vacation? Or where would you want to go on a relaxing vacation? You choose whichever you want to answer. So divide into a listener. Listener one, get ready to start repeating phrases. Go.
Okay, come on back. Come on back. Men are like waffles. Women are like spaghetti. And these differences? Men are like waffles. Women are like spaghetti. And these differences, they go all the way back to when we are raising little boys and little girls. So I saw how many are raising boys. How about girls? Who are raising girls? Awesome. You know what? There's a lot more boys in this room than girls, like 2-1. Wow. That's kind of unusual. These differences, they show up even when your kids are pretty little. Like there was a toy company that wanted to see how kids played, so they put a trampoline in the room. And first they brought the little girls in, then they didn't give them any instructions, they just wanted to observe. And so the little girls immediately, one little girl set up like a little social system so that every little girl would get the same amount of jumps, the same amount of time, so no one's feelings got hurt. And then they brought the boys in. The boys all jumped on the trampoline, shoving and pushing each other off. And the person that, survival of the fittest, the person who threw everybody off, got the longest turn. as my husband says, as it should be. So they're very different. So there was a company that wanted to make an androgynous dollhouse, a dollhouse that both boys and girls would play with. I could have saved them thousands of dollars, but they didn't ask me. So they brought the little girls in. The girls immediately started interacting with the dollhouse by having the little dollies talk to each other. Then they started decorating up the dollhouse, kind of like Martha Stewart, but without the jail sentence. And so the little girls interacted with the dollhouse. Then they brought the boys in. The boys grabbed the baby carriage and started launching it off the roof. Yeah, we are different. And if you've ever been in a group of all males and you're the only woman, it is very entertaining. Like, I was driving our boys around football freshman year. So a van, windows rolled down, full of eight boys, you know, that kind of thing. And so there's this philosophy that we say that boys are the people of the ladder, girls are the people of the circle. And so this people of the ladder thing means they're always looking for the alpha male in the room. So we're in this van, and the first boy starts out, "Yeah, I bench pressed 150 today." Another kid, "That's nothing. I did 180. That's nothing. I did 210. That's nothing. My brother, he can do 300. That's nothing. My uncle, he wrestles for the WWF. And they'll just, like, throw down till they can fight. It's kind of like that game that you play when you're trying to figure out who's going to bat first. You know, they take the bat and they just go up until somebody's on the top. That's what it looks like when you get a bunch of boys together. And it's a part, like, don't try to stop it. It just is a part of who they are. We are very different. And the Bible tells us to accept one another, and that'll bring the praise of God into your home. If you accept, yes, men are like waffles, women like spaghetti. Yes, men and women are different, but let's use those differences for us. My husband loves to quote his favorite philosopher, and that is Rocky Balboa. And Rocky was working in that pet shop, and he was dating Adrian. And Polly, Adrian's brother, came in. "What you do with my sister?" And Rocky said, "She got gaps. I got gaps. We fill each other's gaps." That's actually pretty good theology if you think about it. Yeah, men are like waffles, like spaghetti. God created those differences for the betterment of all humankind. And when we work together and appreciate those differences, then everything runs better. The church, the home, the community, the business, whatever. Your family will run better when you appreciate those differences. The second area, you know, men and women, we relate differently. Second area we're going to look at is that men and women, we relax differently. The way we relieve stress is very different. For example, we women, when we're stressed, we talk our way through stress. It's kind of like when a stressful event hits our life, it's like a meatball drops onto our plate of spaghetti and it sends noodles flying every direction. And we need to talk our way back to adjust to that new meatball and get all the noodles back on the plate. So when we're stressed out, we talk our way through stress. And so when I'm stressed out, my mom knows it, my sister knows it, my best friend knows it, my prayer partner knows it, the clerk at Walmart will know it. We talk our way through stress. But that's not what guys do. Well, actually, I'll give you a couple hints on the girl's side first. So when stress hits, there's two things that will help lower the stress in your home that we can do from our side of the equation. And one of the things is to give some kind of a warning to the people that live with you that you're getting stressed out. Example, I was speaking at a large women's conference up in Orange County. And it went through the weekend, so on Sunday, I had to come home, pick up Bill in San Marcos, get our suitcases, get down to the airport to take the last flight out on Sunday afternoon to fly to Winnipeg, Canada to be on live TV the next day. Last flight. Conference ran late.
I called Bill. I'm like, honey, the conference ran late. There's like 5 or 6 things I need you to do. And Bill said, I have some good news and I have some bad news. Pam, I am in Oceanside because Brock's car has broken down and we're waiting for the tow truck to pick it up. So actually, I need you to go home and get my suitcase and come get me, and then we'll get on the airplane. So now I have twice as much to do and half as much time, so I am very stressed out. And so when I hit the front door, our youngest son was with the family he stays with, a grandma and a grandpa, when we travel. Our oldest son is always already with Bill. And our middle son, Zach, he's at 13. Anybody have some teenagers in your house right now? Yeah, Bill calls those junior hires pre-people. Yeah. And Zachary, some of you have heard me talk about 10 best decisions a parent can make. Zachary is our spirited child. Anybody else raising a spirited ADD, ADHD? Give those girls a hug today. Yeah. Okay, so Zachary, we like to say of our son Zach that he marches to the beat of a different accordion. And so that is the son, and he's 13 at the time. I'll tell you what he's doing now, but at 13 at the time. So I walk in and I say to Zachary, Zach, mom and dad, we have to catch the last plane out. This is what I need to do. I just reeled off this long old list verbally. Well, I know better than that. That is not how you delegate to boys. How you delegate to boys: one task written on one square post-it note. You line the post-it notes across the TV set, and then you say you cannot turn on that TV till those post-it notes are accomplished. That's how you delegate to boys. But I knew that day. I just reeled off this long list verbally. Well, I took off to do the first thing on my list, and I came across the living room headed to the office, and Zach was doing the first thing on his list, but kind of in Zach time. He's like born cool. And I wanted to scream at him, but the Holy Spirit inside me whispered, Pam, own your issue. It is not that boy's problem that you didn't put enough margin in here. Don't you be yelling at him. I know, but he needs to move faster, God. Word pictures. Oh, you're right, Lord. Guys always respond to word pictures. Zach. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You know that mom and dad, we teach that men are like waffles and like spaghetti. He's like, yes, ma'am. Okay. What happens when you put a whole bunch of pasta noodles into a pan of boiling water and the water boils out? Pasta explosion? I'm like, that's right. That's what's going to happen here. This pasta is going to explode. He's like, oh, mom, why didn't you tell me it was like a pasta princess moment? And I'm like, Zach, that's actually brilliant. Yeah. So from that point on, if I was stressed out, all I did is walk in the house, say, pasta princess is home. And Bill has taught the boys, the only thing safe for a male to say to a stressed out woman is, what can I do to help you, ma'am? Yeah. So, but I give him some kind of a code, Pasta Princess. And one of my friends, her code, she lives up in Portland, is Mount St. Helens. So whatever works, you know, she's going to blow. Give some kind of warning. So that's number one. The second thing we can do is to realize that our minds, because they're integrated, when it's kind of like when one thing's wrong in our life, everything's wrong in our life. That fear of frustration can just travel our plate of spaghetti and take over our mind. And we need a way to manage that when that fear of frustration is trying to take over. And the Bible gives great advice to both genders, and that's simply take thoughts captive. And how it plays out in my mind is, okay, so there's a principle that we teach that the thing you love most about your spouse can become a source of irritation. That thing that you first fell in love with, yeah, can tick you off. It's like two sides of the same coin. You need a way to turn the coin over and remember, oh, yeah, that's why I love the guy. And so it would be very easy as a newlywed to be standing in the kitchen, huh, where is Bill? He said he would be home by now. Where is he? Huh, youth pastor? I bet he's standing talking to a cute little high school girl. Come on, Pam, you know he does not meet with a girl by himself. Super, she brought a friend. Now there's two high school chicks talking to my husband. Oh, come on, Pam, he's probably like on his way home. But where is he, God? He's been like hit by a bus. He's laying bleeding on the side of the road. Well, serves him right, God, for standing there talking to those two cute chicks. And he walks as like, judge, jury, hang that man. He hasn't even done anything wrong. It's in my mind.
And so the Bible says, take this thought captive. And how it plays out, I say, stop. What's the truth here? The truth is something I love about my husband. He's a good listener. Is irritating me right now. And so instead of when he came home having criticism coming from me, I decided, you know what? I'm going to turn that coin over. I'm going to compliment him. I bet you really blessed somebody today. You're such a great listener, honey. Your wise counsel really changes lives. It's so great to have you home. When I had that positive attitude of compliment instead of criticize, totally changed the ambiance of the house. He might jump in, help with the dishes, help with the dinner, help with giving kids the bath. He might take the kids to the park, or I might get red hot monogamy tonight. Woo, it's all good. So simple things that you can do to lower stress on your side of the equation. And then the third thing is to realize that men process stress differently. How guys process stress is they like to go to their favorite easy box to rest and recharge. It's kind of like a battery sitting in a battery recharger. When you look at a battery sitting in the battery recharger, what's it look like the battery's doing? Nothing. But it's doing something. It's recharging. So a lot of times the family's under stress, there's so much chaos, and we look at our husband and we're like, what? You're watching ESPN? Can't you see the world's falling apart? You're playing Xbox? Can't you see the stress here? You're doing nothing. But he may be doing something. He may be recharging. So God kind of helped us out so we could recognize these favorite recharger boxes of men, and that most of them are actually shaped like boxes when you think about it. The TV screen is shaped like a box. The computer screen is shaped like a box. The garage is shaped like a box. The football field is shaped like a box. The basketball court is shaped like a box. The baseball diamond is shaped like a box. The pool table is shaped like a box. The refrigerator is shaped like a box. And the bed is shaped like a box. In fact, that bed box, that sex box, that red hot monogamy box, is kind of like the free square in the middle of a bingo card. And men can get there from every other square on their waffle. Yeah. Process stress differently. And so I want to push pause right here for a moment. In Red Hot Romance Tips, this little teeny book, I was doing some research on stress. And there are a couple of things that can lower stress. And that is, if you give somebody a hug, it lowers their stress and it raises their confidence level. Something as simple as a hug can do that for your kids or your husband or your friends. And the second thing I discovered is, you know, on boats, that little line, anybody own a boat in the room? A few boat owners, yeah. That line that goes around plimsoll line. And that is the line that if you load it too much, it goes underneath the water. And that means that you're at risk. And your husband has a plimsoll line in his life too. If he's loaded up too much, that means he's vulnerable to a crash and burn. Just like those ships were vulnerable when they were loaded with too much cargo. And Captain Plimsoll figured out, yeah, let's just figure out a line so we know when we're getting close to danger. And that's why it's important for us women to know, for our sons, for our husband, and even for ourselves, you know, when we are feeling overloaded. We're just going to push pause and look at our husband, since we're talking about marriage, or the most significant male in your life, could even be your son. So I want you to think about, what would their favorite box be? If they had a day off, where would they want to spend it? If they had an hour off, where would they want to go to recharge? So just with that same friend in groups of two, see if you can identify their favorite recharger box. Ready? Go. Men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. We relate differently, we relax and relieve stress differently. And I just want to give you one little tip that I use to help lower my stress. I'll be sharing, Rock Church is bringing me to speak on my new book, Seven Simple Skills. There's a little flyer over there on the book table. But I'll be talking about how to lower your stress and raise your enjoyment level in life and leave with a personalized plan for success for 2016. And one of the things that has really helped me is to trade in my weakness for God's strength. Our adequacy is from God. And there was one season in our life that was super stressful. And that is when I was about 40-ish. Bill was a senior pastor over in San Marcos. We were taking a walk, and I'm like, God, it feels like this is just like the most amazing part of life. Bill, doesn't it feel like our life is a beautiful hand-crocheted afghan? You know, you are pastor of the largest church in our city, and you just moved us into a brand new building. God was so good to us, and all of our kids are teenagers. They're all making great choices. I love being a director of women's ministry. Waffles and spaghetti is on the bestseller list. Woo, woo, woo. Life just doesn't get any better than this. And then it's as if someone grabbed a hold of one string of that afghan, unraveled our life as we knew it. And how it hit is Bill started not feeling well. He went to the doctor. The doctor said, Bill, how long have you had high blood pressure? He's like, I don't. He's like, you do today. And that got Bill's attention because Bill's dad had a stroke and left him paralyzed on half his body when he was 40. His grandfather died of a stroke at 40. And so my very healthy husband was no longer healthy anymore. And to make a long, painful story short, Bill resigned the senior pastorate. He said, you know what, I know I have some strategic life choices to make. He resigned his senior pastorate of a church where we loved the people. 15 years, we loved the people. Most of them loved us. And after, that's very emotional for a man to change careers. He did have the writing and speaking. So he basically had two full-time jobs, and he just went down to one, the writing, speaking. But that's a huge transition, and they were trying to get a handle on how to treat the blood pressure. It was very erratic. And so after he resigned, there's this little window of time. Our son Caleb was hit illegally, rushed to Children's Hospital, was in ICU for 8 days, blood transfusion and all that. He had to be out of sports for 8 weeks, on bed rest for 8 weeks, out of sports for 8 months. And I brought him home, and Bill wasn't feeling well. Caleb wasn't feeling well. I'm like, okay, you guys, how about you guys take care of each other? I'll manage this weekend speaking engagement. We're down to one income. Need some groceries? Yeah. I got a phone call the first night that our senior son was hit in a football game, had a concussion, knee injury, minus his opportunities for a scholarship. The second night, I got a phone call that our junior college son, quarterback, was pulled from the football game, shoulder injury, minus his opportunities for a scholarship. Down to one income, we were praying for scholarships. And the third morning, Sunday morning, I got a phone call. My 40-year-old brother had just had a heart attack. Could I come take care of his kids? Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the theater? You know, who do I save first? So something on my face must have shown I was a little stressed out, and my friends would be like, Pam, how you doing? And I didn't know how to answer them because the answer was either too long, too personal, or like too depressing. Why work their day? How we typically answer is, well, pretty good under the circumstances. I love Howard Hendricks. He was the president of Dallas Seminary for years. He's like, under the circumstances, what you doing under there? So I just began to pray. God, how do I answer these people? And God asked me a question. Pam, what kind of person do you want to be? God, I want to be the kind of person that can choose joy no matter what life sends my way. Because your word says in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And this family needs strength right now. So I choose you, Jesus. I choose joy. So my friends would say, Pam, how you doing? And I started answering them, woohoo, choosing joy. Okay, girls, I'm going to ask you, how you doing? Works a whole lot better with like a little cheerleader attitude. So girls, how you doing? Woohoo! Choose and joy. Yeah. And you know what? It's impossible to say that without smiling or laughing. And I printed off all the verses about God's favor, God's joy, God's anointing, God's blessing, and we hung our heart on the joy of the Lord being our strength. And one of the things that has helped me is trading in my fears for faith in God. And that's why you'll see this little choosing joy pendant around my neck. My friend Lisa makes them. And she is a woman right now who is choosing joy herself. She's this beautiful artist, but that has
An invisible illness. She has arthritis, like debilitating kind of arthritis. But she started, instead of focusing on herself, she chose joy. She started this ministry for other people around the world. Thousands of people are encouraged by Lisa. And she started seeing that these little phrases of hope hung around people's necks, encouraged them. And right now, her husband's out of work, and so these little pendants are like paying their mortgage. The joy of the Lord can be your strength. Trade in your weakness for God's strength. And so that's one thing that you can do to lower the stress on your side of the equation. I want you to write down on your paper right now, what word, what trait of God can you hang your heart on to have hope, to lower your stress, to raise your enjoyment level? What trait, what word, you know, choose joy, be brave. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is on you. There may be a word, even hope, that you can hang your heart on. Just circle it there, would you? If you decide that you want to take home a necklace, there's a little book special there. You can get a book and a necklace for a deal, because we all like that. That lowers our stress. So the last thing is that men and women, yes, we relate differently, we relax differently, but we romance differently. We romance differently. How to impress a wife. Compliment her, cuddle her, kiss her, caress her, love her, stroke her, tease her, comfort her, protect her, hug her, hold her, spend money on her, dine her, buy things for her, listen to her, care for her, stand by her, support her, go to the ends of the earth for her. How to impress a husband. Show up naked. Yeah, we are different. And sometimes one of the things that causes us stress as moms is talking to our kids about sex. And so since we, Bill and I, speak on sex a lot, people have been asking us for years, please write down, how did you raise your kids to make good choices? Our boys are all now married to great, godly leader women, and they made good relationship choices. How did you do that, Pam? So we wrote down 10 questions kids ask about sex, a lot more than 10, but answers to have ready. And we always wonder how we'll handle that question, you know, mom, how do you make babies? This mom was with her daughter, and the daughter is like 8, and she's doing her homework. And she looks up, and she's like, mom, how do you make babies? And the mom thinks, oh, this is the moment. Oh, I need to explain everything. And so mom goes on about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees for like an hour, and the little girl's eyes get really wide. And she's like, okay. And she comes back the next day, and she's like, oh, mom. The little girl's doing her spelling homework again. Oh, mom, I talked to the teacher. The teacher says you're wrong. That's not how you make babies. How you make babies is you drop the Y and you add I-E-S. Yeah, tip one, clarify the question. Yeah, clarify the question. Yeah. And then who are the mentor moms in the room? Who are the mentor moms in the room? These are precious, amazing women, yes. Okay, so we're at this mentor mom stage of life. Grandparenting, love the gig. It's why you don't kill your children as they're growing up, because it's wonderful to have grandkids. So we're at this stage of life when our grandkids might blurt out something like this. And so there's this little boy, and he comes to his grandpa. He's like, grandpa, what's it called when like one person's on top of another and they're like laying down? And grandpa's like, I didn't like ask my daughter like how she wants me to answer this stuff, but I want him to always be able to like ask me anything. And that would be sexual intercourse, son. And the little boy's like, okay. He goes and he comes back. He goes, grandpa, I talked to mom. It's called a bunk bed, and she wants to talk to you right now. You might want to get prepared, is what I'm saying. Yeah. So we romance differently. Men and women, we romance differently. And so if your husband wants to romance you, what Bill encourages them to do is to tie together your life. So if he wants to romance you, you know, send an invitation ahead of time. Then the next day, I'm really looking forward to, you know, seeing you on a little text message, and then send you a cute little email. And then, oh, you looked really great in this baby the next day. And then by Friday night, you show up, there's a little gift on your plate to the place you're going. So you're like, wow, he was thinking of me while he was living his life. And now we know how hard that was. And we're like, whoa, yay. So that's romancing us. Bill even finally, I get the, like from women all the time, okay, red hot romance for wives, 52 ways to wow your husband, like what about him wowing me? Well, there's finally an app for that. It's called Her Best Friend. So tell your husband about it. My husband every day will send your husband a romantic tip to wow you every day. That's the goal. Herbestfriend.org. Her Best Friend. It's on Google. It's on like wherever you find apps. Yeah. So Her Best Friend. So for us, though, how we romance a husband is we want to lower his stress, raise his enjoyment level of life. So tie together his favorite easy boxes. So if I want to romance Bill, obviously now you know all of our kids are athletes. That ADD son, he's now a strength and conditioning coach at the University of Louisville, and he speaks for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So for those of you who are raising spirited kids, hang in there. She will become a wonderful leader that will bless you. Just hang in there. So you want to tie together favorite boxes. So the first box for Bill would be like any college football game. He would love that. Box number two, taking him to his favorite healthy restaurant. Box number three would be the bingo box, every guy's favorite box. In fact, he would give your pastor those college football tickets if he could make sure that bingo was going to happen that night. Yeah. So tie together his favorite easy boxes. And oftentimes it's pretty easy to romance a guy. Maybe just curl up next to him, watch the football game, bring food wrapped with bacon, and only talk during the commercials. That might be romantic. Yeah. So as we head out the door, and you have a little bit of discussion time too, just want to encourage you, just look for that one personal post-it note from God. What one thing does God want you to take home today to encourage the most important male that's in your life? Because, you know, we all need encouragement from God's heart to our heart. And that's why we have our quiet time every day. And God will speak to you and he will lead you and teach you how to be a more loving person. Because God is love. That's how we sign all of our books, 1 John 4:19. God, we love because God first loved us. And to do that, oftentimes we need a place just like MOPS to gain these new creative tools. And so there's this one couple, and they knew they needed a few more creative tools because their little son was just like driving them crazy, always in the middle of them, only kid. They were just not getting any time to connect. So they said to the little boy, okay, here's the deal. We think that our neighborhood needs a neighborhood spy. You are just the right guy for this job. So we want you to stand on the balcony. We want you to shout out everything that's happening. Mom and Dad, we're going to be in our bedroom taking notes. We'll like get a debrief from you. And so the little guy goes out to the balcony. They go to their bedroom. They're like, whoa, maybe we'll have some time for red hot monogamy. And so the little boy's yelling out, yeah, it looks like there's some kids playing in the park. Yep, it looks like Mr. Jones is mowing his lawn. Oh, there's some teenagers. I wonder if there's going to be a fight. Nope, there's a police officer, and the Andersons are having sex. And the mom and dad, like, bolted up in bed, like, how do you know that? Because their kids are standing on the balcony, too. So it's my prayer that our kids will see your kids on the balcony. Men are like waffles and like spaghetti. It's a good thing. God bless you.